Hi, we're the Delicates. I'm Lee.
I'm Peg.
And I'm Dee.
We listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers the oldies, the 50s and 60s. We listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers the ballads, the rock tunes, the songs we all dance to, the girl groups and boy groups, solos and doo-wop. He talks to the stars of the stage shows and sock hops. We listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers the oldies, the 50s and 60s.
Allow me to introduce myself. I'm Elwood, the Midnight DJ, on radio station KHICK. Now, I try to run a quality show, and all my fans will tell you so, except at Christmas, much to my dismay. Oh, no, don't make me play that grandma song again. Though that request line glows and glows, just as bright as Rudolph's nose, I'll do anything you say. I'll play them barking dogs all day, but please don't make me play that grandma song again. Now, every Christmas, I get frosted when poor grandma gets accosted, and all them weirdos enjoy her suffering. And that Elmo guy just keeps on smiling while them royalties keep on piling. And the worst part is, he can't even sing. Oh, no, don't make me play that grandma song again. Though that request line glows and glows, just as bright as Rudolph's nose, I'll do anything you say. I'll play them barking dogs all day, but please don't make me play that grandma song again. Now, a word from our sponsor. Friends, it's that time of year again that just makes you want to get out there and charge. And while you're doing it, why not have playing in the background our collector's gift set of 24 of the most beloved Christmas carols of all time. Classics like You Bumped Your Noggin on My Toboggan, or Hey, Hey, Grandpa's Got a Brand New Nag. To order now, dial 1-900-FRUITCAKE. And now back to you, Elwood.
Thanks, Elmer. So anywho, I told the station manager he'd have to choose between me and her, because that grandma song is a moral abomination. So he says, son, our ratings are flying, and furthermore, our sponsors are buying, and I'm transferring you to the FM classical station. Oh no, don't make me play that grandma song again. Though that request line glows and glows, just as bright as Rudolph's nose, I'll do anything you say. I'll play them barking dogs all day, but please don't make me play that grandma song.
Don't make you play that grandma song.
Don't make me play that grandma song again.
Well, I guess we can't play the song. Guy doesn't want the song to be played, so that's the way it is. Thank you and good night. And no, I'm only kidding. Of course, you all want to hear Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, and you want to hear more than that. You want to hear from the man who was responsible for that record becoming a mega hit. And I'm Ronnie Allen, and I have the gentleman on the phone right now. His name is Dr. Elmo. We're going to ask him about what we just played, and also, of course, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. And we'll also clear up the mystery of why it was Elmo and Patsy, and what this guy has done besides singing. On the phone right now, I have Dr. Elmo Shropshire. Is it pronounced, or Shropshire?
Shropshire. You can say Shropshire. I've said that for years because it's kind of a hard name to say.
But the real name is
Shropshire, kind of like Hampshire. It's an English name.
Okay. Dr. Elmo, what's that record that we just played? Who was singing that record?
That was me.
Okay. You're kind of making fun of your own record. This is the 30th anniversary of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. It's hard to believe. 30 years ago. 1979 it first came out, but most people probably did not hear it in 1979. We're going to get to that in a moment. Before we get to the reindeer, I just want to get a little bit of a background. I understand that you were, as a teenager, the exercise boy for Needles, the Kentucky Derby and Belmont winner. Could you tell us a little bit about how that occurred?
Well, I was raised in Kentucky but moved to Florida when I was a teenager, and I was living on a horse farm there, and I was riding, and I wanted to be a jockey, but I was a little too young at the time. But I was breaking and riding all the racehorses in Florida when it became a racehorse center down there. And one of the horses I rode as a yearling and a two-year-old was a horse named Needles. And I hate to admit this, but I couldn't tell him much from any of the rest of the horses at the time. But then when I stayed at home and Needles went to the racetrack, he won the Kentucky Derby and the Belmont in 1956.
Wow. Well, you say you couldn't tell one horse from another. The horse is a horse, of course, unless the horse is Needles.
Well, there were some that I thought were good and better than others. The reason he was named Needles is because he was very sick. He almost died after he was born. They had to give him so many shots that they named him Needles.
They could have named him Shots. They wouldn't have had the name.
It's pretty amazing that he made enough of a recovery to become such a great horse.
What was the jockey on that horse?
Dave Erb.
He won the Derby and the Belmont. What happened in the Preakness?
He was beat by a nose in the Preakness.
Oh.
He was a late starter. He would hang way back and then come on, you know, a long ways back to win. He was one of the most exciting horses to watch.
Yeah.
But in the Preakness, he started his run a little too late, and he was charged.
The horse that beat Needles in the Preakness was named, Fabius, F-A-B-I-U-S.
No, it was almost a photo finish.
Preakness is a shorter distance,
yes.
So if you fall too far behind in the Preakness, it's very difficult to recover. So you were an exercise boy for Needles. Did that kind of inspire you to become a veterinarian?
Well, it did. I guess I was about 5'2". And weighed about 95 to 100 pounds up until I was 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was 19 years old, I grew 6 inches taller and just got too heavy to ride. And I thought, well, the next best thing would be a veterinarian, because I always enjoyed having the veterinarians come around there, and I always admired them, so that's what I wanted to be.
When you were a veterinarian, was it mostly with cats and dogs or mostly with horses?
It started out with horses when I was working in New York.
And you worked at Aqueduct in Belmont Park.
Yes, eventually. I was a racetrack veterinarian there.
You actually went from exercise boy to track veterinarian. And you also worked with small animals as well.
I owned an animal hospital in San Francisco for many years, just small animals.
At the time that Grandma got run over by a reindeer came about, you were a veterinarian.
Yes.
That's what your full-time thing was. Were you also a performer?
No. Well, by the time Grandma Got Run Over by Reindeer came out, I was performing a little bit, you know, but I was still mainly a veterinarian. I wasn't really making a living as a performer.
I see.
It was just a hobby.
How all of a sudden do you become an overnight success? How did the monster called Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer come about?
Well, I was singing some funny songs at the time. I learned early that I wasn't the kind of guy who could sing Bing Crosby or a Frank Sinatra songs.
Right.
Every time I sang a serious song, people would laugh. So I started singing funny songs, and I did have a gig up in Lake Tahoe, and I was singing some of my funny songs up there, and a guy came up to me named Randy Brooks,
mm-hmm.
and he said, you know, I have a song that I think would be perfect for you. We went back to the dressing room, and he picked up the guitar and sang Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I heard it, I said, you know, this is a song that's going to impress people one way or the other. You know, it's just something that sticks out there and is going to get people's attention. So I recorded. That was in 1979.
For what label?
Oh, no label, just my own.
Just
you know?
Your own. You had like a little dinky tape recorder.
Yes.
Did you have any apprehensions about the song that maybe people might find it in not so good taste?
Well, I did. You know, I was hoping it would grab their attention. It's an attention-grabbing song. And so I performed it a few times on stage, and, you know, people kind of enjoyed it. They said, wow, what an interesting song. So later on, you know, around, I guess in November, I pressed some 45 RPM records of it. 500 is the least you could make. I just gave them to some of my friends as gag gifts. One of my friends took it to a radio station, and the DJ started playing it. And the first time I ever heard it, I had no idea anyone on radio even had it. And I heard it, and I didn't like the way my voice sounded. But, oh, I sound terrible. I should have been a better singer. But anyway, people started calling in, and some people said they loved it. Other people said they hated it and didn't want to hear it again. And that's when it all started, in 1979.
Now, there's a little bit of confusion, because when people first heard the record, actually the first version that made a chart, it said Elmo and Patsy on it, I believe.
Right.
Patsy was your wife?
Yes, and Patsy was a guitar player, and we had an act together. She sang all the serious songs in the act, and I sang all the funny songs.
Oh, okay.
And usually, someone who sings the serious songs is the person who gets the attention. She got all the attention most of the time anyway when we were on stage. But anyway, she had been playing for a long time as a child. She was in a band. So then after the song became a hit, we had been playing for a while, and she just decided she didn't want to play music anymore. And I was just getting into music. I started late. I was about 35 years old.
So you went kind of in different directions. You were known as the Homestead Act?
The Homestead Act, yeah. We were a bluegrass band, and then went from the Homestead Act to just calling ourselves Elmo and Patsy.
Actually, the record made the country chart in 1984 when a label called Soundwaves picked it up. Did they pick up your original version of the song?
They did. Soundwaves was a small company in Nashville, and the song had been playing on the radio since 1979, you know, 80, 81, 82. And in 83, it was in any stores, and no record company picked it up. So Soundwaves took a big gamble. They pressed 250,000 copies,
uh-huh.
And they sold them all, because everybody had been hearing the song for 4 years, and we couldn't buy it.
Right.
So Soundwaves sold them all. That was in 1983.
Right now, I'm going to let our audience hear a bit of the original version of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, Elmo and Patsy. By the way, Patsy is on this version of the record. She's playing bass on the Soundwaves label, and we'll just hear a little bit of the middle portion where you, Elmo, are singing, "Shall we open up the gifts or send them back?" And in this version, nobody is answering. When you say send them back, there's silence. Let's take a listen.
It's not Christmas without Grandma. All the family's dressed in black. And we just can't help but wonder, should we open up her gifts or send them back? Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Wow.
Well, that's a little bit of the No Frills version on Soundwave.
Definitely. That was the demo version.
You recut the song for Epic Records.
We actually recut it before Epic picked it up. They didn't pick it up until 84.
All right. What version is on Oink?
The version on Oink is the original version.
That's the original.
The demo version, we like to call it.
Okay, so the Oink and the Soundwaves are the same.
Yes.
Now, in 1982, you went into the studio and recorded a more polished version, and that's the version that Epic eventually picked up a couple of years later, in 1984. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So what's really interesting about this is that you recut the record, a more polished performance, but in 1983... the version that made number one on the Billboard Christmas chart was not your more polished version, which at that point didn't have a label, but it was the version that was on Soundwaves.
It was the Soundwaves one that made it in 1983.
Yeah.
And then the Epic version made it in 1984.
Yeah, it's strange, but at any rate, it is the Epic version that people are more familiar with. This is the glitzy one with the voice. Now, is Patsy actually on the Epic version? And if so, what is she doing?
No, we put out an Epic album.
Right.
And Patsy sang the serious songs on the album, and I sang the funny songs.
Okay. And, of course, Grandma was not a serious song.
No.
Not by any stretch. All right, ladies and gentlemen, in spite of Dr. Elmo singing that song, don't play it. I'm going to play it anyway because it's my show, and I do what I want to do. So here it is. This is Dr. Elmo, or as it said on the record, Elmo and Patsy, but it's actually Dr. Elmo singing Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer, walking
home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe. She'd been drinking too much eggnog, and we begged her not to go. But she forgot her medication, and she staggered out the door into the snow. When we found her Christmas morning at the scene of the attack, she had hoof prints on her forehead and incriminating claws marks on her back. Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe. Now we're all so proud of Grandpa, he's been taking this so well. See him in there watching football, drinking beer and playing cards with Cousin Mel. It's not Christmas without Grandma. All the family's dressed in black, and we just can't help but wonder, should we open up her gifts or send them back?
Send them back!
Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe. Now the goose is on the table, and the pudding made of fig, ah, and the blue and silver candles that would just have matched the hair in Grandma's wig. I've warned all my friends and neighbors, better watch out for yourself. They should never give a license to a man who drives a sleigh and plays with elves. Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. Now you can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
Sing it, Grandpa.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
When you recorded Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, it got picketed. There was a group called the Grey Panthers. Why did they picket it? Sexist?
Well, they thought it was ageist, sexist, and violent against women. When I went down to go into the club, one person kept putting this sign right in front of my face that said, "What's so funny about a dead grandma?"
Actually, I think MTV played Grandma in 1983. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I made the video in my living room.
Okay, so you made the video in your living room. When MTV played it, I think that made record companies really take notice, because they had kind of turned you down quite a few times before that.
There were dozens of record companies back then, and they all turned me down from every year.
Right.
I pitched to all of them. From 1979 right through 1983.
Well, you did get the one nibble with Soundwave, but you were really looking for a big label that could actually distribute it very widely, such as Epic Records.
In the spring of 1984, Epic said that they were interested.
Right. Well.
And the funny thing is then they said they weren't interested, and my hopes were dashed. And then, like late September, October, when you'd think they wouldn't have time to get it out, they said, "Oh, yeah, we are interested again now." And then they put a single out and an album.
Wow.
And here's the thing about it that year. Michael Jackson's Thriller was also on Epic that year. And because the whole country had been hearing the Grandma song all these years,
right,
but couldn't buy it, when Epic put it out in December of 1984, the Grandma record was their biggest seller.
Right.
And they also had Thriller.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. And a little press release here, it says, in 1985, Grandma runs over Bing's White Christmas as the number one hit on Billboard's Christmas chart for the third consecutive year. And then there was a DJ named Jack Daniels, who probably took a few Jack Danielses after being fired for playing it 27 times in a row. And in 1990, 10 years after being banned and picketed, Grandma was one of four approved Christmas songs selected for the Armed Forces radio playlist during Operation Desert Storm. So let me tell you, and we're going to move on to some other recordings, but before we do, I just want to make the statement, Dr. Elmo. I think it's fair to say that Grandma, over the 30 years that it has been out, has surely had a life of its own. It's become legendary, and it may well be one of the last of the kind of classic Christmas records that gets played over and over and over again everywhere, all formats, a record that's very, very special.
Thank you.
We're going to move on now to maybe one that's not as special, but I happen to like it. I used to play it as a country DJ, and it was from your album on Epic Records, and also the flip side of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Percy the Puny Poinsettia. What could you tell us about that?
Well, it's about a weak little flower that needed some water, and nobody wanted this poinsettia, and so pretty soon some little girl came along and saw this weak little poinsettia that was droopy, and brought it home and gave it some water. And sure enough, the love in the water brought the poinsettia back.
And I think that Patsy's on this recording as well.
I think she might have had one line in it.
She may have had one line or two. If you listen very carefully, you'll hear her. This is Elmo and Patsy and Percy the Puny Poinsettia.
Percy the Puny Poinsettia, hanging his bloom in dismay. If they had just kept him wetter, he'd be a houseplant today. Folks like the other plants better. Now he's alone on the shelf. Even a plant with no uncle or aunt shouldn't spend Christmas Day by himself. Holiday shoppers would stop at the counter and pick out a plant to take home. One at a time, all his friends were adopted till Percy was left all alone. Percy the Puny Poinsettia, hanging his bloom in dismay. If they had just kept him wetter, he'd be a houseplant today. Folks like the other plants better. Now he's alone on the shelf. Even a plant with no uncle or aunt shouldn't spend Christmas Day by himself. Then into the shop on the day before Christmas came a poor little girl who was crying. But when she saw Percy, her eyes opened wide and she said,
"Can I please make him mine?"
Now Percy, the Puny Poinsettia, is standing beside Mr. Tree. His leaves have never been redder. He's as proud as a flower can be. Somebody made him feel better, rescued him off of the shelf. Even a plant with no uncle or aunt shouldn't spend Christmas Day by himself. Even a plant with no uncle or aunt shouldn't spend Christmas Day by himself.
I usually do very straight, very serious interviews. This one's a little bit different. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Ronnie Allen. We've got Dr. Elmo on the phone. You're not just Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. You're more than that.
Thank you very much. It's great to have someone say that. In general, most people think I have just recorded one song. Thank you.
I said it exactly the way you wrote it. No, I'm only kidding. No. Nah.
Right.
Only kidding,
thank
ladies.
You better.
I want to tell you a few more things about Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Hallmark Cards has finally embraced Grandma. Took a while, didn't it? It's releasing Grandma-inspired greeting cards, musical buttons, and the new keepsake Christmas tree ornament this year that sings the song.
It's a beautiful ornament. We can't even get any more. There may be still some in Hallmark stores, but it's been so popular. We tried to buy some, and they didn't have any left. They sold out.
You recently performed in Christmas concerts on the bill with diverse artists, including Brenda Lee, Hilary Duff, Gwen Stefani, Avril Lavigne, and Peter Frampton. When did you do all these? It wasn't the same concert, right? These were different
concerts.
No,
they were different concerts. The year before last, I toured with Brenda Lee.
You also released a bluegrass CD called Wild Bluegrass?
Yes. I've been playing bluegrass for a long time, and I have made other bluegrass CDs, but I haven't made one in quite a while, but now we have a new bluegrass CD with my bluegrass.
Are you still a veterinarian?
I'm still a veterinarian, but I haven't practiced in about 10 years, but I still have my license. Occasionally, I'll work for a friend of mine when they want a day off.
Dr. Elmo, I cannot thank you enough. I mean, you're doing a gazillion interviews over the next... I mean, let's face it, every Christmas, you spend another 15 minutes being famous.
How grand it is.
I hope Patsy's doing well wherever she is.
I think she is. I think she's doing very well in Tennessee these days.
We wish her the best. We wish you the best. Thank you so very much, Dr. Elmo, and hopefully in the future we'll do it again sometime.
I sure hope so, Ron.
And I wish you not only a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, but a wonderful 2010 as well. And now, to end the show, we have to talk about Grandma's killer fruitcake. What is that?
I always wanted to write a song about fruitcake. For everyone who hates fruitcake, you know, I spent a lot of time working on it, but never came up with anything, and then I have this co-writer named Rita.
Rita the writer?
Rita the writer, yes. And Rita said, well, there's no big deal there, just describe the fruitcake.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we came up with this song. It has a line that goes, it was denser than a drove of barnyard turkeys, tougher than a truckload of all beef jerky, drier than a drought in Albuquerque, Grandma's killer fruit cake.
Here.
My new Sony BMG album is out now.
Okay, well, some people call me a fruitcake, so maybe it's appropriate that I play this.
Well, you can put your name in there, Ronnie.
Okay, we'll do, and we'll listen to it right now. This is Dr. Elmo and Grandma's killer fruitcake.
Holidays were upon us and things were going fine, till the day I heard the doorbell and a chill ran up my spine. I grabbed the wife and children as the postman wheeled it in. My yearly Christmas nightmare has just come back again. It was harder than the head of Uncle Bucky, heavy as the sermon of Preacher Lucky. Once enough to give the whole state of Kentucky a great big belly ache. It was denser than a drove of barnyard turkeys, tougher than a truckload of all beef jerky, drier than a drought in Albuquerque, Grandma's killer fruitcake. Now I've had to swallow some marginal fare at our family feast. I even downed Aunt Dolly's possum pie just to keep the family peace. I winced at Wilma's gizzard mousse, but said it tasted fine. But that lethal weapon that Grandma bakes is where I draw the line. It was harder than the head of Uncle Bucky, heavy as a sermon of Preacher Lucky, once enough to give the whole state of Kentucky a great big belly ache. It was denser than a drove of barnyard turkeys, tougher than a truckload of all beef jerky, drier than a drought in Albuquerque, Grandma's killer fruitcake. It's early Christmas morning, the phone rings out the way.
It's Grandma, Paul. She wants to know how'd we like the cake.
Well, Grandma, I never. We couldn't. It was unbelievable, that's for sure. What's that you say? Oh, no, Grandma. Please don't send us more. It was harder than the head of Uncle Bucky. Heavy as a sermon, a preacher lucky. One's enough to give the whole state of Kentucky a great big belly ache. It was denser than a drove of barnyard turkeys. Tougher than a truckload of all beef jerky. Drier than a drought in Albuquerque. Grandma's killer fruit cake.
We listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers. Remembers the oldies, the 50s and 60s.
Well, that's the show. And now a couple of bonus tracks by Dr. Elmo. Here's his version of the 12 Days of Christmas. It's called the 12 Redneck Days of Christmas.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a honeymoon in our new RV. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two baby twins and a playpen for our new RV. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 3 days with her mother, two teething twins, and a tailpipe for our new RV. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a four-man grill, 3 weeks with her mother, two toddler terrors, and a cesspool for our new RV. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 5 more pounds, 4 mountain oysters, 3 months with her mother, 2 notes from the teacher, and a call from the collection agency.
Come on, I ain't here.
On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 6 cats a spray and 5 more pounds, 4 happy meals, her mother moving in, 2 teens with toots, and a hole in the roof of the RV.
Not again!
On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 7 pit bulls barking, 6 cats still spraying, 5 more pounds, 4 rolls of Rolaids, 3 DUIs, 2 pumps with piercings, and my own tent behind the RV.
Why me?
On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 8 AA meetings, 7 pit bulls biting, 6 cats a fighting, 5 more pounds, 4 Thorazines, 3 tattoos, 2 tried as adults, and a hole in my tent behind the RV.
What the?
On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 9 narcs a knocking, 8 days of detox, 7 dog citations, 6 cats a mating, 5 more pounds, 4 rare side effects, 3 implants, 2 convicted felons, and a tranny underneath our RV.
Hey, it's you.
On the 10th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 10 nights at the office, 9 trips out of town, 8 suspicious hang-ups, 7 impounded pit bulls, 6 humongous hairballs, 5 more pounds, 4 cans of Airwick, 3 adult depends, 2 parolees, and a nest of rodents in our RV.
Come again!
On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 11 detective photos, 10 cameras spying, 9 attempts at lying, 8 skillets flying, 7 pit bulls gnashing, 6 hot flashes flashing, 5 more pounds, 4 911 calls, 3 restraining orders, 2 days to vacate, and a change of locks upon the RV.
I'm sorry, baby, and this time I really mean it.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my plaintiff gave to me 12 paid subpoena, 11 lawyers laughing, 10 cents to my name, 9 girlfriends leaving, 8 in-laws seething, 7 pit bulls grieving, 6 cats relieving, 5 a.m. I woke up, 4 it was a dream, 3 times I to her said I do, on our honeymoon in our new
Yeah!
And finally, somewhat of a serious song. Well, about as serious as Dr. Elmo will generally get. This one is called Christmas in the USA.
Heads up, America, it's heading this way. And we are overdue for a holiday. So people get ready, cause Santa's loading up his sleigh.
Why for?
Because it's Christmas, Christmas in the USA. Let's cook. Now they're boiling their lobsters up in Bangor, Maine. And in Houston, they're barbecuing out on the range. In Chicago, the wind is blowing their blues away. Who needs them? Cause it is Christmas, Christmas in the USA. In New Orleans, they're putting out jazz. In Detroit, they're putting out cars that guzzle gas. In Nashville, they're picking out that Yuletide sound. On Wall Street, the Dow is sledding on down. Bucks the Tawny, Pete the Groundhog, sawing logs. In Frisco, they're having fruitcake in the fog. In Cleveland, Ohio, they're rocking the night away. At the Hall of Fame, because it's Christmas. Christmas in the you-know-where. Now looky here, in Boise the breezes are a-blustering. In D.C. the wags are a-filibustering. In Miami Beach, they're decking the malls. And in Beverly Hills, they're throwing Botox balls. Philly is jingling the Liberty Bell. And Winnemucca's warbling the first Noel. They're bopping and shopping from Jersey out to San Jose.
Do you know the way?
Because it's Christmas, Christmas in the U.S.
On account
it's Christmas, Christmas in the USA.